Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE Engine's immersive physics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice, your choice, that is. From the sword and shield-wielding fighter to the illusion-conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world, literally. Oh, and did I mention the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while your dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs or raging waters. Visit dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's dragonsdogma.com to learn more.
Something that's made the past year way easier? Being a longtime user of HelloFresh. It's America's number one meal kit for a reason, and now is the best time to find out why. Go to HelloFresh.com/12face and use code 12face for 12 free meals, including free shipping.
This is a Rooster Teeth production.
I told a story in last week's episode, or the last episode we recorded, which is episode 51. In the middle of the episode, I said, Gavin or Andrew mentioned something that reminded me, and I tried to cut it off and say, hey, I know you guys might have heard about this, but I don't want to talk about it in the podcast, but I'll tell you the story right now. Please cut it from the episode. And then I told you guys in a very matter of fact, like, this is the data, this is the facts of the story that happened. As it relates to an incident between Millie and I, and a third party for that matter. And I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about it on the podcast yet because I haven't vetted it with Millicent yet, and I don't know that she would be comfortable with it, but I want you guys to understand what I'm talking about. I told that little nugget of a story in that manner, and then we went on with the podcast, and I just assumed that was just for you two, I guess, and Nick and Eric, and then it was flushed down the toilet of content. And then I talked to Millicent, and she said, I'm okay with you telling that story. So I came to you guys today, and I said, we're listing things that we have to talk about. You guys were talking about the Halo bet, and then I thought there was some confusion about when it was talked about or something. And then I said, oh, yeah, well, I can talk about that Millie story now. And then you guys said, oh, okay, well, should we cut it from the other episode? And I said, it was already cut from the other episode. It was never in it.
Well, I said, should we uncut it?
Yeah, but I wasn't told in a way
you didn't.
That would have been entertaining.
It was entertaining. But you also didn't articulate that. You said, I never told that story, is how you phrased it.
What I meant was I never told that story on camera. I didn't tell the story. I told you guys the facts.
The thing is, so I asked, because the episode hasn't come out yet, 51 at the time of this, hasn't come out yet. It comes out in like 6 days. So I just said, should we just unsnip it from that? And then you said, I didn't tell it right. But the reason I said that is because Andrew was loving it.
I had a great time.
He really enjoyed himself, even though you were just presenting the facts.
Yeah.
That was what I was asking. I was like, do you want to keep that then? But
and then all I was suggesting was that it's a great tease of you saying, like, well, we're going to edit this out. And then, like, if we make a clear edit, then people will be like, well, what was edited out? And then you can reintroduce it to this as like, hey, I got approval. I can now tell the story. I was trying to build hype for your story, and you were very confused by this.
I see what you're saying, but that doesn't translate in text very well.
I feel like it did. I feel like it was pretty straightforward.
Oh, what a mess.
I feel like you cut me off.
Turn your phone on and look.
I can't. I'd love to. I feel like...
Oh, that sucks.
I feel like...
Oh, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree then.
I was explaining what it was.
You never have access to your phone on a face recording. Do you just kick it out the window, like, wherever we record? You never have it. If we ever need you to take a picture and send it to us, you never can. What's going on?
I organized my photos. I'm good. I got everything lined up on my tablet. Literally, I took a photo and it died. I was like, oh, that's too bad. It happened 10 minutes before the show. I don't know what you want from me.
I just don't know whose phone runs out of batteries. Like, dude, like what?
Well, I charge it once every like 4 days. What do you want? How often am I supposed to charge the phone? Do I charge it every day?
I just put on every night.
That seems like work. Why would I do that? I don't need to.
That seems like 3 seconds of work.
Well, I need to think about it. Then it's part of my routine. What if I don't feel like it that evening?
Do you sleep with it in your hand? Just put it down on a charger.
Well, no, where am I putting it? I got the charger in the window. It's an alarm clock. I don't have to get up out of bed, walk
window.
To the fucking... Yeah. Well, the outlet is below. The outlet is in a very weird place. I didn't fucking design how
this is where you go wrong. Instead of an alarm on your bedside table, you've got waffle makers. Instead of a nice plug, you've got a Keurig. Put the phone next to your bed. Easy charging every night.
And if you've got a weird plug in a weird place... They invented extension cords, and they're wonderful.
Okay. I have an extension cord. All the plugs on it, except one, causes the breaker to flip in my room.
Good Lord, we've been arguing about the layout of your bedroom for a year. This is how long this is. We need to come in and remodel.
Yeah, we can't. I'd love to.
You know what we need? Gavin and I can be our version of the Property Brothers.
We'll
come in. Yeah, we're the property bros, and we're gonna come in and we're gonna flip your apartment.
Yeah, and you'll tell us like how you want stuff, and I'll say stuff like, nice try.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great.
I was doing my impression of the game.
You'll be like, well, I think I'd like to move the plug from here to here. And Gavin would be like, we'll get on that. And I'll be like, yeah, right. I'll get on it. He doesn't do any of the work. And lots of really funny Property Brothers like jabs back and forth.
And then we'll just shrug into the camera. Yeah. Which I assume they do.
And then we'll go. Meh, meh.
I mean, I could try to plug my phone in. I might lose all my power for everything else. It's a real game. I got like a 1 in 7. I'm willing to try, but then I'm gone.
You are a professional podcaster. You do realize that.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, most people, when they plug in their phone, doesn't take down their whole recording studio.
No, I agree. You brought up the fact that I needed an extension cord. I have one of those, but as I said, literally, if I plug it into anything but the right one, the breaker flips in my room and I lose all power.
Get one that doesn't
It sounds like you need another extension cord.
I do.
I figured it out. I finally understand Andrew. I finally, like, this all clicked and I finally understand him. When you suggest something, there are 10 reasons why he can't do it, and it's insane that you've never thought of the reasons that he has created for himself to not be able to do the simple thing, and somehow the onus is back on you. It all just, like, the pieces of the puzzle just came together. This is incredible.
Andrew is like a video game character that only has character slots, but no inventory slots. He's like, well, I've got my extension cord. I'm going to get 2. I can't store 2. That's the extension cord. That's the one I have to use.
They cost, listen, extension cords cost money. They're expensive, like $30.
They're not as expensive as porta potties.
That's true, but that was for the show. That was a bit for the show. I'm investing in the show. It's different.
It's for the show if you can use your phone and the show at the same time.
I wonder if I brought that extension cord to someone else's space, if it would be the same game, if it would trip, because I'm pretty sure it's broken. It like sparks whenever you put it in the other one. So I wonder if it's like a portable shutdown breaker.
You could just plug it in like restaurants and stuff. See what happens.
That'd be awesome.
Why?
Yeah. You might have stumbled into a little device of chaos.
I think I have. Yeah. It's a great
That's
product.
Interesting.
Just plug it in an airport.
I don't have room,
we
Gavin.
Should sell those.
I pack a 20-pound bag when I travel. There's no room. I'm already capped out.
It's true.
God, did we start? Was this the beginning of this?
Yeah,
episode?
We started.
This is 52.
Yeah,
this is a year of faith.
Started with an argument about a text conversation around a story that nobody knows what we're talking about. And then we talked about extension cords.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Christ! How far into this are we?
I don't know.
Ten minutes.
10 minutes.
That was 10 minutes. Wow, that went by quick. That's a good thing.
Well, it's done. I don't have to get to my shit. That's great.
Andrew said he has six things today.
Six things to talk about.
Do we want to start with what Jeff was talking about then?
Yeah, let's do that. That makes sense.
Oh, do you guys want to
want me to tell that story, or
for the sake of the audience, is that we've cut it from one episode and not talked about it in the next one?
We could cut this, and then they'll never know.
I saw the dress rehearsal of this story, so I'm very excited to hear what the final cut sounds like.
All right, well, here you go. Here's a story for you guys. This is the story of how Jeff lost his.
Are we cutting this?
No.
Okay.
This is a story. These aren't facts. This is the story of how Jeff lost his. I am telling you. I don't.
Gotta just spoil the end of the story.
Yeah, it's already. I think the other version's better.
Okay. Here's what we're gonna do. Eric or whoever's editing this right now, just bleep out the word I say over and over again right there.
How Jeff lost his bleep.
This is the story of how Jeff lost his blank. Yeah, his bleep. And then, okay, so let me start by going back and saying,
what are you doing?
Millicent Ramsey is my daughter, right? Millie Sailor Ramsey, that's her name. She's my kid. She's 15. In most states in America, and I don't know that this is the case for Canada and England. I'm not sure how it works in your countries. So I won't presuppose that you know how it works in ours. So I will just let you know that in most states in America, but it's different, states' rights and all, state by state, at 15... In most states, you get your learner's permit so that you can begin to learn to be an adult and drive a car, right? And then become a productive driving member of American society. I did it at 15. So when Millie turned 15, her mother took her out to get her permit. I also don't know if it's like this in your countries, but in America, we have this thing called the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. Sometimes it's called the Department of Safety or Public Transportation. In Texas, it's called Texas DPS, Department of Public Safety. The DMV is the worst place on the planet Earth. And Eric is around, as the other fellow American. He can corroborate that the DMV is the worst place on Earth. You don't want to go there. And it exists to frustrate in its banality. So Millie's mother takes her to get her permit. Nobody has ever gotten their permit on the first try. Because they make it impossible. They were missing some paperwork. So they were like, you got to come back later. And they were like, okay, well, let's make an appointment. And they said, sure, the next appointment's in 6 weeks. Fuck. Okay.
You can't do it online?
So they make an appointment. No. They make an appointment. Her mother then takes her back. And the next appointment, they say, oh, you need this thing called a verification of enrollment. You have to prove that Millie is in school. We won't give a fucking learner's permit to kids who aren't passing classes or in school or some shit like that. So they're like, fuck, well, it would have been great if you told us this the first time, right? And they're like, yeah, well, we didn't. And so you got to get that. And so they called the school and the school is like closed for the day. So they're like, fuck you. So they had to make another appointment for like 4 or 5 weeks down the road. This time I had Millie. So it was my turn to bring her to the appointment. Her mother went and got her the verification of enrollment and all that shit. I bring all the paperwork to the DMV with Millie, and I go there, and the lady goes, this verification of enrollment expired 3 days ago. And I go, excuse me? She goes, yeah, it's only good for 30 days. That was 33 days ago. And I was like, you think I unenrolled my daughter in school 3 days ago? Like, in the last 3 days, you think I've unenrolled her from school, and I'm trying to, like, get one over on you? Isn't it obvious that she's like every other 15-year-old in the world, she's in school? And they're like, hey, fuck off, come back in 6 weeks. So I made another fucking appointment. At this point, Millie's gonna be 26 by the time she gets her driver's license, right? Before she gets her fucking permit. Like, we're getting close to 16 at this point. Fourth trip to the DMV happened last week. I had to get another verification of enrollment, all the stuff, get there. Then I had to do some tap dancing, because even if you have all the paperwork and everything required, they still won't make it easy for you. But I tap danced and I did a little, you know, And I got the goddamn, we got the goddamn permit. Fucking amazing, right? Millie finally got her driver's permit. By the way, Gavin, she's way ahead of you now. She officially has her Texas permit. You do not. She is beating you.
Well, I'll be honest, you're not selling me on the process.
It's not fun, right? But it's a rite of passage. So now it's time for her to start driving. You know, and you know, we've been practicing and driving in the past, but she's never driven my car before because I didn't want her to drive it until she had a permit and it was totally legal. And technically, I guess it's also your car, Gavin, because, you know, I don't know. We've talked about this in a previous face, but I lost my car to you in a bet, but you very kindly let me continue to use it and pay for it for years and years and years. Yeah. And then you allowed me to trade in that car for a new car, which means that partial ownership transfers to you. So, unfortunately, I did a thing where, you know, I'm in my 40s and I had a bit of a, maybe it's like a, it's one of those midlife crisis moments or what, or just treat myself, but I bought a really nice car that I was really excited about and really proud of and really happy about. I bought this BMW M5, and it's excessive, but it brought me, it sparked a lot of joy in my life, as Marie Kondo would say. So Millie, I'm like, well, better get in the race car. And she's like, is it okay if I drive your car? Are you sure? And I go, absolutely, dude. You've got the permit. I've seen you drive before. You're good. We'll take it slow and easy. And she hopped in the car, and 15 minutes later, we weren't driving it anymore. We had a very successful drive down a road, and we were turned around, and we were coming home, and Millie stopped at a red light, and somebody plowed right into us. Plowed right the fuck into us.
So it wasn't even her fault.
No.
It wasn't her fault. No, she stopped at a yellow light as it was turning red. She stopped. It was totally fine. And somebody just wasn't paying attention, and a big pickup truck slammed right into us. And Millie goes, did I... What was that? And I'll say one thing for cars and new cars. They absorb shock very fucking well. We got plowed into by this truck. And Millie goes, what was that? Did I stop too soon? And I go, no, we just got hit. And she goes, we did? And she was, and I was like, yeah. And she was kind of in shock, I think. And so we pulled off and we exchanged information. My car's, the back of my car's gone, you know, trunk and those are all figments of a past life. We had to, you know, exchange information and with the cops and the insurance and all that. And it was, it's all fine now. My car's getting fixed. Their insurance is paying for it. It wasn't Millie's fault. She was cleared of any wrongdoing, by the insurance companies. But because of that, I lost the back half of my car and I haven't had a car for 2 weeks, and I don't know when I'll have a car again.
I love, my favorite thing is just how much Andrew loves it when your house or car fall apart. He just really loves it.
It was like 6 months of frustration with the Texas DPS leading up to the point where she literally like gets the fucking driver's license out of the mail and goes, can I drive your car now? And I go, hop in. Bam! Fuck you! Fuck you! Universe says, fuck you, Jeff! Fuck you, Millie! Fuck you, BMW! Suck my butt! And that's where we are. Sucking the universe's butthole.
Do you need the back half of the car? Is that necessary? I feel like the front is way more important. If you're going to lose part of the car.
That's the driving end.
Yeah.
It requires both.
Okay.
Apparently.
What did the people say? Were they? Did Millie scream at them? Be like, what the hell were you doing?
No. Millie was pretty like upset, you know, and kind of just like kind of in like shocked by the whole thing. So I handled it mostly. She was just kind of quiet and they understood, you know, I they didn't really have an excuse. They were just like, I just didn't see you guys stop, you know,
on the damn phone. Probably.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they were and of course they were in this big ass pickup truck that suffered zero damage. Like didn't even smudge the chrome on their bumper. However, the back half of my car looks like an old accordion, like not one in good shape. I mean, one that's been through the paces, one that's been in service for a while, like at the tail end, like a dude who has one of those monkeys that he dresses up and he goes down to the, like Venice Beach or like the boardwalk there and he like plays and the monkey dances. Like when he's thinking, he's looking at the accordion and he's like, shit, I've had this guy for 18 years. It's about time to get a new accordion. It's barely held together. That's what my car looked like.
That was such an unnecessary explanation.
What do you want me to do?
That was basically the same version as we got last week, but with the origins of the...
Yes, it was so much longer. Oh, you opened it with, in the beginning.
The car was invented.
Well, I don't think I fully explained the DMV shit to you guys last time.
That's fair. It was important.
But I feel like the DMV is like, that's what everybody knows about the DMV. I feel like it's like a Seinfeld bit from the fucking 80s that the DMV is terrible. Everybody knows the DMV sucks.
I don't know. Everybody knows. You've never seen Everybody Star knows. Wars, motherfucker. How do I know that you know what American DMVs are like?
That's
suck
my point.
My butt.
The fact that I don't know Star Wars, but I know the American DMV sucks.
Shit.
It's such a universal thing. I've seen Zootopia, Jeff.
There are so I've seen many Zootopia. Universal things that you don't know what the fuck we're talking about. You've never touched an egg, goddammit. You're going to talk about universal? You don't know what a meatball tastes like. You've never licked a pickle. Fucking Christ.
Wait, do you lick
How can
pickles?
It be universal?
Do you like pickles? Is that a thing you're supposed to do?
Everybody likes pickles.
No,
hey, where's Hawaii at?
Where the fuck is Hawaii? Universal DMV. You're from another country. How the fuck am I supposed to know I'm the only American on this show?
Kevin, did you know the DMV sucked? Were you aware of that as a premise?
I did, but I've lived with Jeff, you know, I've loaded for over a decade.
I feel like it's just a cultural, everyone knows this. It's like what the people talk about with the DMV.
He might be right. There might be people internationally, like we've got the DVLA, but I have no experience with
it. I don't know. Zootopia is a big movie.
What's it like at the DVLA, Gavin?
That's what I'm telling you. I'm the wrong person to ask, aren't I?
Okay, so you wouldn't have any experience or no. So if someone would have to tell you what DLVA is like, because you personally have never fucking experienced it.
I still got a provisional. I did it online. It took like 1 second.
We don't do shit online in America. We do it slow.
Dude, I had to.
And with red tape.
It's 2021. Someone asked me for a check the other day. What's wrong with this place?
I gotta get my goddamn kid's passport renewed, and I have to have a money order or a cashier's check. They don't take credit cards for passports in the United States government.
Every time I need to use a check, I don't know where a checkbook is. I have to buy a new one. I use one check. I lose the checkbook. And I repeat that cycle every year. We need change.
Oh, wow.
Andrew, do you have a checkbook?
No, I don't. So is that like version 2 of the story, Jeff? Or are we going to lock it down next week? I feel like there's some good tweaks to be made.
When the bank was invented.
Listen.
I like the story. I'm just going to.
Yeah, it's a great story.
It was a great story.
It was a good story. It was a little. We went a little long in the beginning.
Listen,
but you got there.
Listen, you little foreign dickhead.
Which one are you talking to?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm talking to the more annoying of the two of you. And everybody knows who that is.
That's just mean.
You need to stop deflecting and set off the goddamn fire extinguisher that we've been waiting for 52 fucking weeks.
I think he's talking about you now.
That was a big pivot by Jeff. That was an interesting play by him. This is trying to get away from the DMV talk?
I disagree with you. I don't think that everybody on Earth knows that the DMV is a universal thing. And then even if it does, then there's a whole other layer of this that we have to get into, Andrew, that I'm not talking to normal people. I'm talking to you. I can't presuppose that you understand anything about how anything in society works because you are an anomaly.
He's got you there.
That's a fair point. I can't argue that.
So I have to explain shit.
I know what the DMV is. Everybody knows the DMV.
It fucking sounds like it.
Should we just put up a Twitter poll? What's the DMV?
What does it stand for, Andrew?
Department of Motor Vehicles.
Okay, there you go. It sounds like you're very well versed. I apologize
Zootopia.
For the beginning of my story. It was a waste to explain to such learned and sophisticated individuals as yourselves how a DMV works. I will not make that mistake.
Oh,
again.
No.
The apology was not directed towards Eric Bedour, so he can take that apology, accept it, and shove it up his butthole. It was just to you two.
Oh, no. I got some bad news.
Go ahead.
Well, Jeff was fucking yelling at me about, oh, wait, I'm 52, everyone's waiting for this fire extinguisher. I got it fucking prepped. I had it organized. I was ready to go. I'll show you what I made.
It's unprepped?
I can't show you what I made because I took a photo of it, and then the phone died. We're back to the beginning. I'll send a photo later. I came up with an idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
We need to film. Are you not filming this?
No.
Do you not have a video camera filming it?
No, I built the thing.
Why? We're just all going to sit here and listen to it? You could just play a sound effect, you lazy bastard.
What do you want? This is a fucking audio podcast. What do you want from me?
A little bit of supplemental content for the socials.
We never talked about the supplemental content. Oh my God, this is what a show this is.
I think it's universally accepted that supplemental content is important, and video content of such a monumentous occasion would be welcomed.
I went through multiple layers of this. Eric is aware of, like, my initial idea was, how can I do this? Because it's going to go everywhere. I'm going to build a kill room like in Dexter was the thing I thought of. I'm just going to plastic off an entire thing. Just keep it completely separate. That was my idea. That's what I was trying to build towards. I never got that done. That seemed like a lot of work. That seemed like a lot of work. I couldn't figure out how to tape to the ceiling. It just seemed like a whole process. I couldn't figure out the logistics of building a kill room or you need to cover the roof. So today, I thought I'm just going to put this in every garbage bag I currently have. So I dropped it in, I taped it up, and then I just kept Russian dolling it, just more and more garbage. I have it in like 18 garbage bags.
So you're just going to reach your hand inside?
No, I was just going to squish from, like, it's I can just do it from the outside.
Like, through the bags, you're going to squeeze that?
Through, on top of the bag, I'm just going to squeeze the handle.
Is the pin already out?
Pin is out. This pin's been out for a year.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is, so there are two problems. One, the garbage bag is very big. I had to, like, kind of squeeze out air from the garbage bags just to try to, like, get my hand to a point being able to reach it. So while Jeff was talking about whatever he was talking about, I was choking out this garbage bag, and it doesn't work. Nothing happened.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
I pulled the handle. Nothing happened.
You got an empty fire extinguisher, haven't you?
It's drained out. I think all the pressure's gone. It's dead.
It's almost like we had conversations, I don't know, every fucking week for the past month about how you should take it to your fire department
recharged.
Because they fucking lose their charge time.
Check the tapes. You said, I bet it's fine. You said I could.
Check the tapes. Dude.
I said get a new one.
Against my better judgment, I listened to this week's episode yesterday after I said I wasn't going to listen anymore because I wanted to hear what we said about the fire extinguisher. And I'll tell you exactly what we said. I said, do you want me to Google to help you? Do you want me to Google your closest fire department so you can go down there and get them to recharge it for you? And you said, I know where the fire department is. I got that under control. I can do that. And
it was discussed, but I think there was a consensus that it's fine. It's totally fine.
So you're saying that just now, at the end of that story, you just squeezed the fire extinguisher anyway, like without any buildup. You just went for it.
Well, it was when Jeff was fucking yelling about, oh, waiting all these weeks. And I was here it is, motherfucker. And nothing happened. It was just silence.
All right, so take it out. There's a gauge on it, surely, like a needle.
I mentioned it said it was in the recharge zone, and everyone was like, it's fine. God.
And everybody said, get it recharged, and I offered to find the fire department to do it at.
I know where the fire department is.
Then go! You need a fire extinguisher. Gavin offered to buy one. He found one online. He said $65. This one seems like a good one. And you were like, that seems too expensive. And I was like, it's less expensive than your apartment burning down.
You have a cord that makes sparks every time you try and use it. You need this.
If anybody we know needs a fire extinguisher, it's you. You need a few of them.
I put it in a lot of bags. I'm working on getting it out.
It's to the point now where I'm not ever getting my hopes up about anything we do on this show. But that was a real flat ending. That was our year celebration. We talked about that
a
year ago.
It's almost as if we could have predicted it was happening and we tried to intervene before it happened.
Oh, no.
Episode after.
Oh no! It did go off! It did go off! I just couldn't hear it! Oh no! Oh no!
What
do you mean? It was
powder all over the place! Oh no! Wait a second!
He's recovered it!
It was in the bag. It never left the first bag. When I ripped, it was the only bag I taped, so I ripped it open and powder's everywhere. Oh, no.
How much powder is there? Let's get a...
There's a lot of powder.
Can we get some descriptions?
There's too much powder. No. Where do I take this bag?
How did you not know it was?
I had to just say, I like spurred it, I think. This is like a little spur.
So what happens if you squeeze the handle now?
Nothing. It's done.
So it just coughed and that was it?
Yeah, it was a cough, but it coughed all over the bag and the powder's everywhere.
I gotta be honest, I didn't think that the powder would go everywhere when you opened the bag.
Oh, neither did I.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a mess are we talking about?
Oh, it's not like the worst mess. It's like a 6, but it's like it was an unexpected, my hands of powder on them. I was just ripping through it because I wanted to pull to confirm. And
so it's like if you like ripped open a bag of flour?
Yeah, sort of. Like, yeah, maybe not like a big bag, but yeah, there's a flour bag effect.
And now if you spray it, squeeze it outside of the bag, nothing happens.
Yeah, squeezing it,
wow.
It's dead.
I wish you had your phone on.
Yeah, well.
Well, Gavin, I got news for you, buddy. He can have the phone on or he can be in the podcast, but he can't do both. You gotta take your pick.
Buddy. I mean, I sent him a phone. I should have sent an extinguisher with it. Just giving him all the toys. Andrew needs all the ingredients.
Speaking of all the ingredients... and long-term commitments. You may remember back when this show started, maybe it was episode 3, this begun. This has been a long time coming. Oh, I said some things about basket weavers. I made some comments. I don't even remember what I said at this point, but I had an ongoing feud with the basket weaving community.
It was one of the earliest recurring bits we had, I think.
I think it was the first one we did have.
And you did some research, and you were telling us about this basket weaver who was very famous, but then...
Leona Waddell. Yeah.
But then you didn't read on and could tell us nothing
about it. Yeah, I just learned that that was who the top basket weaver was and was not prepared to answer any questions relating to the person. So I got a kit. I begun the process. I made a few mistakes. I made the assumption, you know, you scan the instructions. I assumed that everything you needed would come into the kit. That was okay. Not the case. Everything required to make the basket was not part of the kit. So the first thing is you have to cut the wood into 8 15-inch pieces. And then the next step was join it with string. I didn't have any string. I was out of string. So we used ribbon. It was a real conversation between floss or ribbon. I ended up going with ribbon. Floss. Nice orange ribbon. Nice little orange ribbon. It really ties it together. I love orange, my favorite color. We're off to the races. So then the next step is the weaving part. Instructions weren't all that clear, you know, but we committed to it. We're working. So this is step 2. This is probably about, I don't know, an hour into this process. This is the second photo. We're building a basket. The basket is on its way. We are creating art is what we're doing. We're weaving.
It looks fantastic.
We're weaving like the best of them. Kind of has a bowl vibe at the moment.
Yeah.
And I was not going to give up until I made this basket. So I was up late.
Is that a little bow tie? That's so cute.
Have you like snapped? Or is that just some, is that like the end of what you were weaving sticking up there?
That's the end of what I was weaving, okay. I believe. Or maybe not. It's hard to tell. It's a complicated thing, the basket weave. So I was up for a long time last night trying to put this together. It reminded me of when I was a kid in school. I've had this kit for weeks. And I just put it off until the night before and realizing I didn't have the prep I needed and like getting stressed. It was like I was trying to submit an assignment again. And like how those assignments went, you could see the final product. Our basket is a piece of true art. It's beautiful. We got a basket. I did it, guys. I weaved a basket.
Why is it so much more sparse than it was in the second picture? Did you pull out all the... What have you done to it?
Okay.
You did! You took...
You gave up and you just stretched what you'd done.
So this is...
I can
you
see that.
You accordioned it out. Do that to my car.
You don't get that past us.
So what happened was I didn't like the initial weave. So then I pulled it all out, but then all the wood dried. So then I had to re-wet the wood, and I could never recapture the magic that was the first weave. But we put, that was, you're looking at 4 hours of weave work there.
So how do you feel about,
I can't.
He's going to be picking raspberries and shit that we're dropping through. Blueberries leaking all over the road. If you could describe that, Jeff. To people listening who can't see this picture, what does that look like?
What is it? It looks like a tumbleweed with orange string on it.
It's tumbleweed with a handle.
Tumbleweed with a handle.
So,
it started off so promising. Like that first picture, he's like, oh, he's really, look how even it all is. He's really putting the effort in. The second one, oh, I can't wait to see what this is going to look like. Third one, I wish I hadn't.
The instructions were not very good. It was very complicated. I tried my best. I'm not an arts and crafts guy. I've never weaved anything. I feel like I need to issue an apology to the basket weaving community. I have been humbled. I respect the craft. I don't think I'm done with baskets. I think a year from now, I'll work on my second basket. But
there's even stuff like, if you carry that and walking like to the left of that, you would be stabbing yourself in the leg. Look at all the jagged shit coming out the sides.
Berry picking is very competitive. I need to be ready.
Do me a favor. Save that.
Of course. I'm not getting rid of my basket. Okay. Are you crazy?
We need that.
Yeah.
What's that above it? Are we going for some gummy bears? What is that?
Yeah, it's some gummy bears. Just to get, you know, need to fuel up. Need to do a little fueling. between the weave.
Oh, yeah.
Got some gummy bears constructions, bottom right.
And his gummy bears.
Yeah, and a tape measure. It's a frog tape measure. So that's the basket.
Your life is like if someone got locked in the Blues Clues house and grew up and just got stuck there.
So Millie Ramsey has been very quietly listening to the last 15 minutes of this or so next to me, and uh-huh. she died at that. She just, the Blues Clues thing just killed her. Yeah. She's on the floor.
Oh my God.
So that was actually,
I don't know if you delivered on the fire extinguisher or not. You definitely pulled it back, but it doesn't matter because this basket is phenomenal. Like it eclipsed. Who gives a shit about fire extinguishers now?
Well, I still do because I have to clean it up as soon as we're done. But outside of that, I agree.
Whether it's for work or for play, a lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. And if you're not, you're probably going to be doing something equally cool, like waiting till your annoying neighbor goes out of town and then breaking into their backyard and swimming in their pool all summer while they're none the wiser. So whether you're going to do that or whether you're getting on a plane or going on a road trip or maybe you're going to yacht somewhere, I would take your Raycons with you. So whether you're listening to this podcast or another certain theme park related podcast that's also very popular, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears would make all the difference. You get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycons look great and they feel even better. Just touch them. They come in a range of cool colors, and with customizable gel tips, included for a comfortable in-ear fit. It's like a little ear massage for your ear. Don't get too relaxed. And Acons are built to go wherever you go with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. Also, if you're like me and you forget to charge stuff before you go on long trips sometimes, Raycons are great because they have like a 24-hour battery life. So even if you predictably, if your name is Jeff Ramsey, forgot to plug them in the night before, chances are they got enough juice to get you through the trip anyway. So listen up. Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for our listeners, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/face. There, you'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order, and it's such a good deal, you'll want to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/face. buyraycon.com/face. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me mention the Jordan Harbinger Show before, and now I'm going to do it again. This episode is brought to you by the Jordan Harbinger Show. You want a new podcast to look forward to each week? One that's entertaining, informative, and which is not this podcast, by the way. I highly think we're entertaining, but I certainly wouldn't say we're informative. Or packed with actionable content? Come on, of course you do. The average podcast listener listens to 6 shows in rotation, so you're most likely not just listening to you probably are listening. If the average listener has, you're the average listener, you have 6 shows in rotation, probably 4.5, we have round up. So 5 are probably this podcast, which leaves 1 more for the Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show is a top shelf podcast named Best of Apple in 2018. So don't just ignore my suggestion, give it a listen. Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes and authors and scientists, no scientists here, to mobsters, spies, hostage negotiators, that's more like it. Harbinger has an undeniable talent for getting his guests to share never-been-heard-before stories and thought-provoking insights, which is hard to do because you figure most of these people, they get interviewed over and over and over again. They tell the same stories over and over and over again. But without fail, he pulls out tactical bits of wisdom in each episode, all with the noble cause to make you a more informed critical thinker to better operate in today's world. The Jordan Harbinger podcast is smart, funny, and easy to listen to. You'll be pressed to find an episode without excellent conversations, a few laughs, and actionable advice that can directly improve your life. You can't go wrong with adding the Jordan Harbinger Show to your rotation. It's incredibly interesting. There is never a dull show. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B, as in boy, I-N, as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, by the way, I was thinking about the first 30 minutes or so of this podcast, and uh-huh. I might have been a little hot. I apologize if I was a little aggressive.
A little hot?
DMV frustrates me.
I think you called me a pickle-licking freak in rage. A little hot.
You know, in some societies, that's a compliment, though.
Yeah, which one?
I mean, it could be in certain sectors of America, you know? There's a lot of pickle lovers out there.
Sure.
And freak. You could be like, oh, I'm freaky. Okay. That'd be cool.
Okay.
Freak's a compliment.
I have a question for you, Jeff.
Yeah?
Have you applied to Soho House recently?
What is this?
Did James Buckley ask you?
Yeah.
I meant to tell him I put him down. I got asked. All right, here's a funny story. So somebody invited me to Soho House, like a non-Rooster Teeth friend. And I thought, you know, they're opening up one in Austin. And I thought, yeah, well, I'll apply. Why not? Fuck it. I've been to it a few times. You and I had a great burger there, right?
Yeah.
And so I was filling out the application because it's like, hey, you've been invited to join this thing by this other dude. Do you want to join? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I was like, yeah. And then at the bottom, it's like, hey, do you know anybody else who's in Soho House? And I go, well, I do know one person who's in Soho House. So I just put down James. And then it said, be sure to let him know you told us. And then I thought, I should remember to do that.
Explain what is Soho House.
Thank you, Gavin. We get the fucking origin of the DMV and he just skates through Soho House. What the fuck is a Soho House?
I feel like the DMV is much more accessible than Soho.
What is a Soho House?
I feel like if you know what the DMV is, you know what Soho House
is. I don't know what a Soho House is. I know
it doesn't require. It doesn't require an explanation. I don't want to over-explain shit anymore. I've been lambasted for it in this very episode. I'm not going to like wax poetic and over-explain shit that people don't need to know anymore. A lesson learned. So if Gavin wants to explain it and if he wants to waste everybody's time, he can go right ahead. But I'm not going to be the one that does it. What, is Buckley mad at me?
No, Buckley just sent me, he forwarded me the email that he got sent by Soho House. And I was like, let me guess. He didn't mention that to you in any way. And Buckley wrote, I didn't hear a sausage.
Yeah, well, I did. Let him know, as the go-between between Buckley and I, let him know that I did.
Okay.
That I did that. That's accurate. And that I meant to follow up with him, but they were faster than I was.
Okay.
Andrew, Soho House is like it's like a schmarmy kind of, well, schmarmy, that sounds like a negative word. I shouldn't say that. It's like a fancy kind of like bar club, like restaurant, like where like people network and
you need a membership. You need to be like referred by people and
it's a whole thing.
I don't have a membership.
Yeah, I don't either. But nobody's ever offered me one today.
I appreciate that. That was a good explanation, Jeff. I appreciate that. That was very clear.
I thought I would at least apply. Oh, dude, guys, do you remember how I got some confirmation on something? Do you guys remember how we were talking the other week and I told you the story about the lady falling off the horse? And then I told you later that I was really bummed out about how I told it and how I thought I didn't tell it well.
Yeah. You're going to give it another go?
Well, no. But I got confirmation that I told it badly. Because, you know, Emily's best friend, Vanessa, who's a real cool lady and who loves face and listens to every episode, they like work together at the salon or whatever. She came into Emily the day and she goes, hey, I just got caught up on face and I got to ask you a question. And Emily's like, yeah, what's up? And she goes, why did Jeff fuck up that horse story? He told it so much. She goes, he told it so much better in person. It's like, why did he tell? She's like, he left out all the best stuff. And Emily's like, I know.
Well, damn.
So I have independent confirmation that I did fuck up that story.
Still a good story.
I still liked it.
I honestly, I think the telling of the car crash story was only slow because I knew the end result of it. Not knowing what happened in the horse story, that being my first version of it, I had nothing to compare it to. Good story.
Yeah. Well, also, he did start even today's story by saying, here's how I lost my car.
That is true. He did open...
Which earlier in the podcast was bleep.
I never like when movies do that, when they start at the end and work back. I'm not a fan of that plot device.
12 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
By the way, I feel like I should reference, or I should say, nobody was injured.
Yeah, I was
on
gonna
either side. It was just a fender bender for him. For us, it was, you know, some of a new car. But it was like, it really, like what I was gonna say, like the safety measures on these new cars are phenomenal. I don't get in a lot of accidents. So it's not something that I deal with a lot. And like, it was, yeah, it was crazy. Like the car was pretty fucked up, but it absorbed like 100% of the impact. Like we really didn't feel it. It was nuts.
I was going to ask that, but I was too busy laughing. I forgot. It was, I really got into. Oh.
And I feel like Jeff will struggle to do the same delivery twice. Like if he's telling a story, Jeff's been getting some full starts recently. Like, we did our face stream recently.
Uh-huh.
Jeff delivers the most energetic, amazing intro. Turns out we weren't live yet. Then, during our summer games in spring thing, we moved outside, and Jeff very energetically talked about the rules to this water throwing challenge thing we were doing. Got all the way through it. About 4 minutes in, he's like, "All right, are we ready?" And then the person holding the camera was like, "All right, Jeff, we're live on you." And I guess they've just been playing like a recap of the show while everyone repositioned outside. Jeff did it again. It's like twice in 2 weeks that Jeff's like, "Ah!" And then the second time he's like, "All right, well, like I was saying."
Yeah, it's
I think it's deliberate at this point. What do you think, Eric?
I don't know. I don't know that it's deliberate. I think that he uses so much of what he's got. Like, when, you know, like when he does like the big intro and then he gets mad that he did the big intro. I feel like that's what it is. I just don't think he can match that energy and enthusiasm a second time.
But the thing is, no one ever is like, "Jeff, hold up, we're not live." Everyone just stands there filming him. Let's him go for like 4 straight minutes.
They let us go on that break shit show. They let me go for 6 minutes. I had a pack of cards in my hand. I was about to open the first goddamn pack of cards on the show, in the history of the fucking show. And then Gavin goes, "Is the chat not updating?"
No, it wasn't even that. No one even said anything.
"Are we not live?" And then they go, "Oh yeah, yeah, no. You haven't been live at any point."
The only reason I asked is because people at broadcast were just like loudly chatting to each other. And I was like, "Wait, are we not on? Because everyone's just talking loudly."
I wasn't there in studio. I'm watching a link from the outside going, "Wow, this happened really fast. We just all of a sudden, here's the intro." I didn't get a note or anything that we were like, "Oh, I guess we're going to do a dry run real quick." It was just like, "We're doing the show." Because then all of a sudden the intro played and I went, "Oh, okay, I guess we're, okay, let's, all right, guys, have a good show." And then I muted myself and then that was, that intro was very good, though.
Thanks, man.
It was, the setup too was so good of like, you were saying, literally you said, "Jeff, has anyone explained to you how we're going to start this show?" And Jeff said, "No." And then as soon as you went to be, you're like, "Okay, so the music's going to start and then we're going to pan into you." And then the music kicked off and Jeff had a panic. "Are we live?" And then, it like quick zoomed into him. It was great.
Yeah, I like the idea of Jeff being like, "Wow, that was short instructions. Here we go. Straight in." We should play that somewhere. We should upload that full start.
Well, also, I thought it was live because it was past the time we were supposed to start.
Yeah, and that was like,
I had every reason to believe it was live.
The red lights were on. Everything was real, except it wasn't live.
Well, you know, you guys are right in that I can't. It's not that I can't match my energy from the first to the second performance. It's that I don't, on a core, foundational, in my soul level, I don't want to do the same thing twice.
Yes.
Yeah. The same performance twice.
Yeah. I totally know
and
what you mean.
I don't know what it is, and I don't know why, but it is why I do content like this. It's why I do F-Face, and why we did Let's Plays and Achievement Hunter, and I do podcasting, because I don't like to do prepared stuff, and I don't like to have to repeat it. I hate doing anything kind of, that's why you don't see me in a lot of narrative stuff outside of Red versus Blue, because I just don't like to deliver lines, because I can only get it right once and every subsequent attempt gets worse.
Everything's better the first time, especially reaction-based stuff. Like, I've been asked a few times if we're doing like a big shoot or like a slow-mo thing, be like, "All right, we didn't quite get that. Just react to that again." I'll be like, "No, we just didn't get it."
It doesn't work that way. Yeah.
It's just, we missed it. Sorry. Get it next time.
And there are some people who are so good at acting, like Matt Hullum, who can just do it, and he can give you 10 different reads, all different and all hilarious. I guarantee you, the first read I give you is the best and only good read. And no matter how hard I try, it will only get worse going forward. And so you just like, the first take is the only take.
It's like the opposite of practice.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
It is exactly the opposite of practice. That is exactly what it's like.
We have another thing we need to talk about before this episode ends.
I feel like we only got to 2 of your 6 things, Andrew.
I only got to 1 of my 4 things, but my shit's not important.
I mean, I only have 2 things left. I feel like we touched on 4 of them. So I asked in the past, what are some loose threads in the past year of this podcast? Okay. Number 1 by far was the basket. It was the top thing people wanted some resolution on. Number 2 is the bet that I had with Gavin. The Halo bet, the 24-hour challenge bet. We need to revisit this, Gavin. We need to talk about What has happened?
Here's what we need to do. Long term, we need to start writing stuff down.
Yes,
we need a
absolutely.
We need a challenge keeper. We need someone probably whose name rhymes with Fleric to write down the terms and enforce the rules.
You mean a judge?
Yeah.
I nominated him last week.
I didn't remember what the actual details of the bet were. I didn't even remember what we would win or whether it was a double or nothing. I thought it was a pencil thing. I thought it was a $500 thing. Someone said it was a gum thing.
It's a gum thing. I remember that now. Yeah, it was a gum thing. You have to put a piece of gum in your mouth for 10 seconds of my choosing. Within, like, a decent, like, I'm not going to make you, like, use secondhand gum or whatever. It's like it had to be a fresh stick.
I remember it now. We concluded the bet last week, though, and it turns out maybe everything was wrong about it.
I think your memory and, like, once the first time ever, I think I'm right on this show.
And it was the one time you had absolutely no confidence in yourself.
Yeah, it's like I'm always wrong, so whatever. So I said to Gavin, we could do two things. Either I lost the bet, and I'm okay with that because I accepted the terms even though they were wrong, or we could run it back and we can do it properly.
I'm all for running it back, doing it properly, original terms.
Okay, so you need to pick a level then, from my understanding of your
outskirts.
Thing. I think I know what, I assume you need to do that one. So, I don't know, do we record a thing outside of this, or like when that episode airs, it's going to be, how do we do this? Because it's logistically a nightmare now, where next episode that airs, the bet is over. Then a week from then, the bet is back on. How do we do this? How do we approach with the timeline? It's very confusing.
Yeah, with a 24-hour time window on something that is always 2 weeks ahead of release, it's very difficult. Like, how do we get in sync?
We record a thing that we throw onto the front of the next episode, and then I'll just stream.
By next episode, you mean the one from last week?
Yeah, the one that is going to air next. So the one we recorded last week.
So 51.
So 51. Yeah, we record a thing maybe at the end of this quickly. Do we even need to explain it? Because we already explained it here. I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, we're just going to say we messed up everything about this bet. We know we're fixing it.
When we initially talked about this, I just remembered, I think we even discussed that we would write down the time that the bet started, and then 24 hours later, we would come back and talk about it, regardless of whether it was won or not.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that.
So we need to do that. Like, tomorrow at 3:52 p.m., 1:52 your time, Andrew, we need to be discussing this bet.
Okay, so are we starting the bet now?
I don't know. It's up to you guys, but whenever we do start it, we need to film.
Why don't you explain the origins of bets first?
Of betting?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this goes back to the Bronze Age. Okay. It's going to take some time. Little dickhead. It's up to y'all whenever you start the bet, but I do think we should adhere to that part of it.
What's the best way to get in sync with the audience so that we can potentially do something live? Because Andrew, I've heard, has his Twitch account back.
I think I have it back. I got locked out of my Twitch account.
How'd you lose it?
They said you need to change your password, and they refused to send me a password reset email. And so I was doing research on what happens typically when you're in that spot, and people just generally lose their account. Like, Twitch will just say, like, we can't verify that this is ever you. We're not giving it back. But my tablet could sign into the account, so I was able to make a few changes. So I think I can get the account back.
Okay.
But it's just a matter of when do we start? And I can just stream. It's probably going to take me hours to beat Gavin's time.
So should we say when the stream will be on the little extra bit we record?
Yes.
Okay. And then we should decide that now, right? So we don't drag this into another episode.
When can you do it? When does that episode come out? Next Wednesday.
Do I start on Wednesday? Do I start at like 8 a.m.?
So that'd be the 19th of May. Well, I don't know why we're saying in this one. This is the 26th of May when this comes out.
Yeah, we're deciding when this will start, and it'll be over by the time that people...
This bet, the audience will know the winner and loser of the bet before this airs.
Let's just say I'll do it on the day we stream, and we don't... This is unneeded, this conversation, now that I think about it. But the point is,
you wanted to have this conversation in the episode.
Well, we needed to discuss that the bet was still on in this episode. Then I thought we'd record a thing after the episode for the episode before.
I mean, do we verify that the bet is still on? Do we go back and check the tapes as to what was said? Or are we just going to just say, screw it, it's still on?
You can do that if you want. As I said, it's very suspicious that Gavin goes through the fucking archives on every single thing I've said, except this one issue. This is the one thing that he refuses to go back to.
That's an interesting point.
I don't like what I'm going to find, I think.
Gavin usually brings the receipts, and he is definitely not.
I think the receipts have been shredded.
So we run it back. I guess we'll just do the bet on Wednesday. I'll start it up. I'll stream again.
Right. So last week's episode is all about how you lost again, and...
The bet is, okay, Eric brings up a great point. Let's just go over everything.
But it's already happened, Eric. It's over.
It is true. Do we? What's the point?
Do you think we should explain the bet that ended a week ago?
Yes, because there are people who are going to consume every piece of content that we do outside of the podcast that is the thing that they do listen to.
That's fair. That's a great point, Eric. So Gavin picked Outskirts. I have 24 hours to beat Outskirts from what time? I'll say 8 a.m. I'll start at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. My time, 8 a.m. Pacific. If I beat the time from the time I beat it, Gavin then has 24 hours from that point to take the time back. We go back and forth until one of us cannot beat the time. Is that it? I feel like that covers it. If I win, Gavin has to eat gum. If I lose, I don't know what happens.
Can I ask some questions here?
Yeah, of course.
How confident are you, Gavin, that Andrew will not be able to beat your time?
He will 100% beat my time.
How confident are you that if he beats your time, you can reclaim it within 24 hours?
70%.
Really?
How confident are you, Andrew, that if you take his time and he takes it back, that you can take it back again?
100%.
Ooh, really?
I thought there's 0% chance you'll take it back the second time because I think you glitched into it somehow. I don't think your time, the time I'm beating right now, is completely genuine.
You talking about my new techniques?
Yeah, I'm talking about whatever your technique was. I don't think you did it on purpose. I think the game glitched in some way and that there's no way you'll be able to duplicate what I do if I beat it.
I think Gavin watches way too many speedruns.
I don't think that's true because I sent Gavin a speedrunning thing for like how to do it. And he's like, I've never seen this in my life.
I'll be honest. I've not watched a speedrun for this level.
All right. Well, there you go.
I've seen like a marathon of the whole game, but I've not been like studying anything.
Okay. Well, I think that's resolved. Do we have anything else we need? How long have we been going at this point?
We're about right there. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I only say this now because I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I'm turning into Bernie. And Jack asked me about it today because I guess I never talked about it and he wanted to know what I meant. So Andrew, I don't know if this will mean anything to you, but I think Gavin, I think this will hit home with you. I've become a kind of a person that I never wanted to be, and it's really fucking with me, and I don't like it. And it's one of those things where, like, when you become a different person, how do you fix, like, how do you go back? And I don't know how to do that, but Bernie used to do this. Well, here, I'll explain it this. I have now started, and I don't know why.
What year was Bernie born?
Yeah.
Leaving fucking half-empty soda cans all over my house.
Oh.
Like Bernie used to do at work. Do you remember that? Like, we all hated Bernie because he would drink two sips of a Coke and put it down and then walk away and open up another Coke and take three sips of a Coke and put it down and then walk away and pick up a third Coke and open it and not take any sips. And it would be on everybody's desks but his.
Yeah.
And you would just walk around with a trash can picking up useless undrank sodas from Bernie. I do that. I'm doing it like 6-7 times a day right now, and I am powerless to stop myself.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that I sent you 48 cans of Coke? Am I at all responsible for this issue?
No, I wish. I wish I could blame it on you. You are going to be responsible for whatever damage all this Captain Crunch does to you.
So what is it? You just don't hold on to it? You're just walking around all the time? Like, if you're sat at your desk, surely you're just sipping on it until it's gone.
Well, I move around a lot, right? The other day, I picked up a Diet Pepsi can, and I was like, God damn it, guys, this is full. And I went to Emily, and I'm like, who's Diet Pepsi can? It was like, which one of y'all isn't finishing your fucking sodas? And Emily's like, dickhead, nobody drinks soda but you. And I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, I drink water, and so does Millie. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it is 100% me. And then I realized that it is me. And now I'm wondering, was it really Bernie or was it me? And I didn't know that it was me. That's not true. It was definitely really Bernie. It had to be. I remember that well. But why the fuck can't I keep? Why can't I? I don't want to be the kind of person that does that. I want to maintain positive control over my soda until I complete it.
How do you not have like a bunch of flies? Doesn't that attract that little sugar?
No, I drink diet soda, but like I just don't understand. It's really frustrating me, and that's all.
Why don't we adopt some like Edward Fortyhand style training? Tape it on.
We could do that. The only other thing I had is that Andrew scared my girlfriend.
I don't know. I'd love to know how. It was a pleasant conversation. What did I do?
I'll tell you. The other so I was talking to my girlfriend earlier today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And she goes, she very cautiously goes, you guys talk about Christmas at all in the upcoming any upcoming episodes you've recorded? And I go, I don't think so. Why? And she goes, no reason. I was just curious. And I was like, well, now there's definitely a reason. You know, we don't just ask questions like that. There's obviously a reason. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And she goes, oh, it's not a big deal. And it took me a while to get it out of her. And then she's like, I don't know. I just like, I was just, Andrew asked me a question about Christmas, and then I don't know if it's like a bit, and I don't want to try his bit, and she didn't want to talk about it, and then it was like a whole thing, and then she's like, and I was like, well, Andrew and I did have a conversation about our favorite Christmas movies. Maybe it was just that. And then she's like, I don't know. He was asking me about Christmas songs. And then and she was like, kind of showed me the conversation. She was being real protective of it. And it looked just like a genuinely lovely conversation about you guys sharing your favorite Christmas songs. And I looked at it and I go, I think you just had a genuine conversation with Andrew about Christmas and enjoying Christmas songs. And she was just like, how do you guys live like this? I was like, I don't know.
That makes no sense.
I don't understand.
She didn't trust you because she was scared that it was some sort of a bit.
No.
It was some sort of a, she was being pranked.
No.
Or she was participating in a prank that she wasn't aware of.
I love that over her own confusion, she puts the sanctity of the bit first. That's
100%.
That's great.
100%. Like, she was protecting a bit that didn't exist. And she was protecting Andrew in a way that didn't exist. And at the end, when I finally got through, I'm like, I know, I think you just had a genuine human moment with Andrew. And she was just like, I don't know how you guys live like this. I don't know how you trust each other. I don't know how, like, it's exhausting. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking agree with you. It is.
Okay, so this is my perspective of that conversation. Jeff and I were talking about Christmas. I'm a big Christmas guy. I love Christmas. And he brought up, I say it because it makes Gavin laugh. It's my favorite thing. You brought up that your girlfriend loves Christmas, super into Christmas. So I was like, you know what? I haven't talked to them.
I mean, in the sense that you asked me what my favorite holiday was, and we talked about that, and then you asked what Emily's favorite holiday was, and I said, she's a Christmas person.
Did I ask that? I genuinely don't remember if I asked that question.
I don't know. Maybe I volunteered or you asked it. I don't know, but
I don't remember how we got anyway, it seemed like they were super into Christmas, and so I was like, you know, it's a basic thing. I'm curious what their list would be. They sent me their top five Christmas songs. While they're concerned that this is a bit or paranoid over that, I'm just listening to the songs I wasn't all that familiar with, just having a great time, eating a McDonald's breakfast. I was having a great time. It was a great day. I was just enjoying music.
And little did you know, you're ruining someone else's day.
Yeah, little did I know that they thought this was this whole bit.
In her defense, 9 times out of 9, it is related in some way to content.
To be, completely fair, almost every conversation we've had is some way related to a bit or just fucking with you.
I just love that our paranoia is infecting the people that we care about in our lives outside of the show.
And I would say our own paranoia is at an all-time low. Like, I've been...
No.
You're still paranoid?
No. Okay, we need to talk about this thing. This is maybe what we close on. Maybe a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, Eric brought up that he got a Slack message from somebody and that he thought it was one of us because they didn't have a profile picture and it just seemed very suspicious, the timing of it. They said they work in the finance department. And I remember hearing Eric say this. I was like, that seems overly paranoid. That same person slacked me yesterday. And I immediately went, this is a bit. This is a prank. Somebody's fucking with me. They're the most suspicious person, without cause, I think it's our own paranoia, I've ever interacted with. And every conversation I've had with them since then just makes me more paranoid. I don't think they're real. I kind of think they're real. They have to be real. But I'm pretty sure it's somebody.
Why are you talking to the
finance
department?
Why would somebody from finance?
They reached out to me.
Why?
Let me pull up the fucking conversation. That was something that I thought was odd. I got to load into Slack. But yeah, it randomly appeared. And I remember saying, like, thinking when Eric brought it up that that's weird. And my first reaction was, that's not a real person. This person doesn't exist. Somebody's fucking with me.
So you and Eric are both talking to a person and you both believe they don't exist. And that you think that person you're talking to is, I don't know, me or Gavin or somebody else.
I'm not sure.
To what end would we be pranking you there?
I don't know. But it's just that they were a very suspicious. Here, I'm pulling up Slack right now. I got a message. This is, you know what, honestly, was the trigger word for me. This is what they messaged me. Yo, you don't know me. Big fan. I work on the finance team. I don't trust the finance person that opens with yo. That seems very suspicious. I don't feel like that fits my concept of what that person would be.
I want to see if this person's messaged me. What's the name of the person?
Greg. I messaged Eric immediately that I'm now completely on board. This person is very suspicious.
Oh, they have messaged me.
That's interesting. And then I went into polite mode. So I just said, it's nice to meet you, Greg. And their next response was a screenshot of their conversation with Eric saying that Eric thought that Greg was an Andrew Payton prank. And their response was, dude, I'm not sure I'm not an Andrew Payton prank. And then they told me, let me know if you want to use this smiley face, which I interpreted as like fuck with Eric more through them. And I'm like, this person is a wild card. I don't know how to deal with this person. Because if they're saying to me that I can use them to fuck with Eric, then that means that they're open to being, like, fucking with me. It goes both ways. It's an impossible to read.
I take back everything I said about paranoia.
Yeah. You seem incredibly paranoid right now.
I didn't realize you were allowed to have a Slack account without a picture on it.
I then said to them, respectfully, I'm not entirely sure you exist. And then their reply was, right back at you, bud, which is a super suspicious reply.
Look at the company with someone in finance is just screwing with us.
I then replied back to them because they're the most suspicious person I've ever met. I said, have you ever played Among Us? And they said, yeah. And I replied, do you get voted out first every game you play? I do not believe that you're a real person.
Oh.
I said, I want to believe you're real. And they replied, don't we all? And I was just like, I don't fucking know what the, this is not a person. This is not a real person.
It's the kind of person you meet at a bar and then you go get them a drink and you come back and they're gone.
Yeah. It was a whole thing. They claimed the only thing that made me think that they were a person is I apologized if I was being overly paranoid, and they replied that they were in it for the chaos, and they said, it's like visiting Sesame Street, and instead of meeting puppeteers, I turned into a puppet. I'm like, just thinking that they're part of some bit. This is like my Christmas version, but Eric has an update, I believe, on the extent of the realness of this individual. This
will have to take us out because we're way over time, but here's what happened. With this back and forth, I apologize because I went, hey, until the, because I got confirmation from our friend Lewis. I'm like, Lewis, who is Greg? And he said, this is Greg. Greg is a human man. And I'm like, I don't know, too close to Jeff. Still don't believe it. Our fearless leader, Jordan, emailed the whole company today with like, hey guys, here are some organizational updates. This person's going to be doing this and Tony's going to be doing this and blah, blah, blah. And the last line is talking about, and Greg will continue to be doing this, this, and this. And I messaged Andrew and I'm like, it can't possibly go this high. It can't. It can't possibly go to Jordan. It can't. There's no way, right?
I'll say this about Jordan. And Eric, I don't know if this will mean anything to you. Gavin, I don't think it'll mean anything to you. But Andrew, it's going to mean a lot to you. Jordan's favorite movie is Windy City Heat.
No.
Oh. Wow.
No.
When I told him you also loved Windy City Heat, it blew his mind.
It's a great
movie. So I guess don't stop worrying until someone at Warner starts talking about Greg.
I understand what you're saying about how it couldn't possibly go to the top. But our fearless leader, Jordan, has been involved in pranks throughout his career, the level of which we could probably not hope to achieve.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Not to add to your paranoia or fuel the flames of paranoia, but I wouldn't make an assumption that it couldn't go that high up, honestly. I also know the answer, so, you know.
I think that was a pretty good trial period for Face. We did a whole year.
Yeah.
You probably know by now if you liked it or not. Thanks for listening.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let us know if you want us to do another year.
Maybe in year two, we can find out who Greg is.
I wonder what I'll weave next.
You can't move on from that basket as if you've weaved anything.
What defines a basket?
What defines a basket?
Please end this episode. We have to go. We have to go. Goodbye. Thank you for 1 year of Face. Goodbye.
What's the furthest south you've been?
Love you. Just rate and review and all that stuff. And tune in exactly 1 year when Andrew sets off another fire extinguisher, but this one's full.
I'm back. I missed all that. What happened? My computer froze. I didn't hear anything for the past 15. We good?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, it's over? Okay.